Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guns.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you had prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Econ.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Oh, my God. We landed. It's
Eagle
show
has
number
landed,
two.
Huh?
Yep. It's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. John and Kat here.
Yay.
Kat, we did it. We got around Yay. The far side. Didn't you like that intro? Isn't that cool?
I think it, you know, the interesting thing about the intro is it looks really cool on my computer screen with all the different colors and stuff.
Oh, yeah, you've got that on your player. You've got that.
The media player, you bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah, our number two show, and we've got some interesting things in store. We're going to first talk about, for the first half hour, about techniques used in EVP work, things that are kind of a little bit far out that we've been noticing folks talk about, and a few things of our own that we've come up with. And so Kat and I are going to go through that. And on the half hour, we'll take a short break, and then Christine B. from El Dorado Paranormal,
Yay.
Who's a good friend of ours and a member of Ghost Rider Investigations also, will be on to talk about her particular brand of investigation and, you know, take us through some of her cases and things like that. So I think it's going to be a great show. So off we go. So you and I were on the phone earlier today, Ms. Kat. And we were talking about some of the different kinds of investigative things that were, you know, a little bit different.
Right.
And you were telling me about a different method you were going to be trying or thinking about.
Yeah, it's the Etch-a-Sketch. I think that might even be, it's kind of a, I guess it's an off-the-wall kind of a tool, but it just might work.
Yeah, matter of fact, when I was on board the USS Hornet on October 31st on the Live Aboard program for overnight, which was a insane investigation. They were actually doing that, yeah, and I didn't even check back. I think it was Journey Paranormal that had that going on, and I never heard back with what they got on that or not, but obviously somebody's had luck with this.
Well, the simplest tools, and as you mentioned, more of an off-the-wall type technique, actually might be the most effective. I personally don't think that you have to spend your life savings on investigative equipment when a simple, even a crayon or an Etch-a-Sketch, marbles, Scrabble tiles, any of those might get you almost the same results.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny because on the way to work in the morning, I listen to podcasts through my radio in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on my Zen, my creative Zen. And I was listening to CJEVP. It's another program here on Blog Talk, and her name is also Christine. I got to keep my Christines in order. But they had a guest on back in December who was saying exactly the same thing, that there's really no need to spend all this money on these really expensive pieces of gear. For example, like, you know, these real expensive, you know, recorders, you know, digital recorders that will pick up everything. And what the gal was saying was that it will just guarantee you that you'll pick up way more stuff that you won't be able to hear any of the real information, the real EVPs. So there's something to be said about that, and I totally agree with it. And you can get so loaded down with gear on investigations that you start kind of looking kind of goofy.
Well, I think it just gets too gadgety.
Yeah, it starts getting the Ghostbusters kind of a sense to it, and although we are Ghostbusters in the most truest of senses, I just think it's more effective just to have a few tried and true pieces of gear. And if you're going to try something new, you know, give it to one investigator and have them go out in the field with it and then test it, you know, several times. So, you know, I think that idea that you're talking about would be a great thing just to take out and see, and it surely is inexpensive.
Well, like I say, I don't really think you have to. I mean, there are some times I would think you would want a gadgety investigation, but most of them, if you can just get a control room or even two control rooms, you can set up your little experiments. You can train a camera on them and see if you get anything.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it doesn't have to be a nighttime investigation. You know, we're conducting most, if not all, of our investigations in the daytime.
Right.
So you could do work just as well, you know, during an afternoon session as you could at night. And you probably will get more detail if something does show up. But, you know, that said, night investigations are a lot of fun, though.
Night investigations require a lot of coffee.
That, too. Yeah. And, you know, trying not to stumble over gravestones and different things when we go out in the field at night around here. But I don't know about you. I mean, do you hunt, like, graveyards up there?
We do graveyards, we do private residences, we do businesses. You know, it just depends on where the call comes from. Getting an investigation in a graveyard usually requires getting permission from the graveyard itself. And we've had, interesting you should mention, we've had a few graveyards out here where I live desecrated by kids out there knocking over the gravestones just for fun.
Yeah, with
and it makes it rather difficult to go up in front of the city council and say, oh yeah, me and my group, boy, we'd like to investigate this graveyard. And they just look at us and go, well, no.
Yeah, that's been the issue out here. Matter of fact, there seems to be a rather terrible thing, a real market for ripping off some of these older, you know, Gold Rush era stones out here. They could fetch $500 or more per stone,
right,
which is just terrible. And it is a criminal offense, I mean, no doubt, anywhere. But the law is really cracking down on it out here, and we're glad to see that. But kind of getting back to the techniques, though, you know, the Etch-a-Sketch idea is a great thing for, you know, I guess even taking out in the field into cemeteries and just leaving it with a camera. I mean, that's a great idea. One of the things, though, that I was kind of mentioning to you, I had this pretty offhanded idea. I was talking on the Hornet with another investigator on October 31st, and they were talking about how much energy ghosts need to actually, or spirits, you know, ghosts, I'm going to get away from using ghosts, spirits need to be able to, you know, move objects to, you know, affect the physical surroundings. And they often do that by draining batteries, or they'll create temperature changes, or, you know, they'll sap the energy even of people. And I was just struck all of a sudden with this idea that it would be neat to take those, you know, those lightning globes you can get at Radio Shack or at, like, Walmart.
Right.
You know, they're like, you know, what, $15 to $30? You know, you can get the great big ones for $50. You know, they're just huge.
You can get those at Spencer's too.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're basically a big giant direct current source. You know, there's a little circuit in there that will that's creating those direct current, you know, energy bolts,
right,
if you will. And it just seemed to me that would be like a neat tool for basically giving a ghost, or, you know, or a spirit all the food they'd ever need, you know. So if you have power in the, you know, if you have AC power, or you can bring a portable power source with you, I think it'd be an excellent idea to combine with, you know, the Etch-a-Sketch idea and maybe some other similar techniques.
Now, I know I touched on it with you earlier, but wouldn't it be fantastic if you set up a control experiment with that electric globe and put a zero lux video camera on it and you see an orb come into the picture and it manifests and then it touches that globe, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and of course you'd have to attract them. You know, it's funny because on, I think an episode of Taps, I saw not Jason or Grant, but their number three guy. I always forget his name.
Steve.
Steve went into the field in one of the episodes with an ultraviolet light, and I've got actually one myself here, a little thing I got off of Yahoo. It's a handheld, just like it almost looks like a little fluorescent light. And what I had heard on the TAPS episode, and I have yet to validate this elsewhere, is that you can use a UV light, a portable UV light, almost as an attractant to bring them to you. And if somebody, you know, if anybody is out there listening, although we're number two show, I wonder how many people are listening to us right now.
Didn't Zach from Ghost Adventures have one of those too?
Yeah, I think Zach had it too.
That
right.
Light. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't know, what I did not know was the formal name that they had for that tool, but it struck me that it was a high-frequency light of some sort, and, you know, a UV light is right up there at the edge of the visible spectrum, so you would tend to think that something like that is putting out a lot of energy.
Right.
Is going to bring them to you, and, you know, who knows? So that's worth a try, too. And the other thing that just struck me was, you know, after you and I had talked earlier, the idea of taking somebody who's, you know, rather skilled psychic and also using them to call them in and kind of, you know, as bait, if you will.
Like a summoner?
Yeah, somebody who could who could get the word out and then say, hey, we're doing this thing. Would you like to cooperate with us? And what's funny is because when I went out in the field in December 27th with our team to Marshall Gold Rush Discovery Park out in Coloma, we set up an experiment, and it had really great results. And what we did was we basically had me stand there and talk to the different spirits, and I said, look, I'm not going to ask dumb questions. Of you, I'm going to ask you to separate into groups. So I would like the men to separate. Oops, I got to keep the screensaver from going nuts here. I'd like you to separate into groups of men and the women and little girls and little boys. And then when I call on each group, I will ask you to say your names. And they cooperated beautifully, except for the little boys who were kind of mischievous. But the rest of the other groups came through, you know, splendidly, and it showed me that they are willing to accommodate what we're asking them to do. So I tend to think that, you know, that's something that could really work well, is, you know, trying to coordinate with them, if you will, to get good results, not just depending on random, you know, circumstance. So going into a known haunt and seeing, will they work with you? And if they're working this hard to talk to you, you know, and want to get your attention, I tend to think they're going to, you know, want to work with somebody who's actively trying to, you know, elicit results.
Now, if you want them to work with you, do you also think that on the same lines you could maybe ask them, do you like this Etch-a-Sketch? Do you like these crayons? Do you like these balls? Do you like the jacks? Do you like the Scrabble tiles? Which one of these objects would you be more comfortable working with us with?
Yeah, and it probably won't be the same thing at every location. You know, that's one thing I've noticed with, you know, this whole business is that what you see and what you feel in one location and what happens there is so different than another.
Right.
And I don't know if that is that your experience?
Yeah, but it'd be great EVPs. It would further cement that you're actually communicating with these individuals.
Yeah, and it's what was striking to me was, for example, when we did in November, our team went out to St. George Hotel in Volcano. It's a Gold Rush hotel about probably 40 miles from here. And that particular place was just really kind of heavy energy, and the spirits there were kind of in a bad mood, except for a couple. Out here, you pretty much have a much more friendly population. And so, you know, it's not going to work everywhere, but I tend to think it's going to get you more results than if you didn't. Because the one thing I hear on all these EVP investigations is people standing around going, well, are you a man? Are you a woman? You know, can you make your presence known? It's like, you know, I just, after about the umpteenth time of doing it, I went, you know, this is kind of dumb. There's got
to
be
purpose. I try to ask odd questions.
Yeah, and to develop a style that, you know, that will elicit really good stuff, but to do it with purpose, you know.
If I was down there where you are, I would probably ask things like, are you a gunslinger? Did you ride a horse? Do you play poker?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the kind of stuff, and especially if you've done your research ahead of time, you know, if it's a known haunt, great. Or if you're going into an investigation and no one has ever been there before and really you don't know what you're going to run into, stop midway through and do a quick analysis and see what you're getting. And if they are feeding
back, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Just step off and listen and, okay, these questions seem to be getting some responses. Let's try some more.
Actually, you know what was funny is a long time ago, someone mentioned to me, and I have no remembrance of who it was, but they mentioned to me that they were talking about going to Walmart or Walgreens. Actually, had these little inexpensive like hearing aid type devices. They were you see them on TV for $14.95, you know. I can't remember.
Little things that look like Bluetooth.
Yeah, they look like a little headset for your ear, Bluetooth headset. And
right.
And what struck me was it kind of met all the requirements for EVP because you have this device that's, you know, a real cheap little circuit, no filters. It might be the ticket to real time communication. You know, rather than depending on a tape, you know, and you've got the lag of a tape, which is it's great. You know, you're going to get neat stuff, but wouldn't it be cool if you had the ability to do, you know, real-time live communication back with them?
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to record it.
Well, you could if you carry the recorder with you too at the same time. But if
you know, that'd be an interesting experiment. Can you simultaneously do that?
Yeah, because you know it's funny. I heard someone say on the air on one of the CJ EVP programs that oh no, you know they'll talk only to one recorder and not the others. And yet, time after time, I've seen on taps and in my own experience, I've seen cases where, you know, no, we've gotten it on multiple devices, the same noise, the same, you know, speech. So I tend to think it would work. But, you know, there should be some kind of active, you know, research. I don't think we're the first ones to think of this. You know, obviously,
but those things you're talking about, putting it in your ear, isn't that just a sound magnifier?
All it is a magnifier, but if spirits have the ability to come up to a microphone and attach to it and actually, you know, affect the electronic circuitry, just like what they would do with a digital recorder or a, you know, a regular tape recorder.
Do those listening devices run on a frequency?
They're going to do the same thing with one of these devices that's just an amplifier.
Or are they the same frequency, I should say?
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting experiment.
I tend to think it would be, and I think that you could try a variety of these different things that are relatively inexpensive and see what works best.
Sure.
You know? So I'm thinking about going down and picking one up in the coming week because we have another investigation at the end of the month. And take it out in the field and just see what happens. I mean, at worst, I'll just end up with something that can help me in my aged hearing that I'm having troubles with. But at the same time, I mean, it just struck me as, hey, that's brilliant. I think that'd be cool. Imagine being able to sit there and hear them and then say, oh, yeah, I hear you, and watch what they do, you know.
Maybe I'll pick a couple up when I make my way down to California.
Okay, you're on.
You know.
Then we'll go out and hit some of these local cemeteries and see what we get.
Maybe in one of the hotels. Who knows? But, you know,
yeah.
The sky's the limit as far as, I mean, for me anyway, the sky's the limit as to what you can use for your investigations to try to gather evidence.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's basically just your imagination. And, you know, when I was over at, what's the name of that hotel down in Fresno with the insane asylum? It just escapes my mind at the moment. But Wolf Manor. I was at Wolf Manor on November 29th, and we did about a six-hour investigation there. And I just lost what I was going to say. You know what? Getting old really sucks.
John.
Yeah, I know. It bites. But we were investigating there, and I had some point where I was going with that, and I just lost it. Where was I going, my dear?
I think that probably, because I know we had talked about the Wolf Manor, and I know that you got some really good EVPs out of that thing.
Yeah, and there was...
And I'd like to ask you,
you
think that using one of those listening devices would be more beneficial if you're getting really clear EVPs?
Well, I tend to think so, because if they're going to be good enough to come out on a standard digital audio device that you know, or even a cassette recorder, some people still use tape, then a device like that in your ear is going to be, you know, with a little amplifier circuit, is going to obviously be probably as effective. You know, it's just, I just am looking at the whole paradigm of, oh, you're supposed to do it this way. Oh, you're supposed to, you know, go back and then do analysis. Well, you know.
Who says?
I know. It's like, you know, wait a minute. The whole point is you're trying to communicate with these people, and you're finding out a lot more, and you'll elicit a lot more if you walk up to them and go, by the way, I can hear everything you're saying live. I think they would just go gaga, you know. It would just, you know, bring more of them to you. But... In fact, that seems to be a little problem lately. I don't know if you've had the same issue. Once they become aware of you, stuff starts happening a lot.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do they bug you quite a bit?
They bug me all the time.
Yeah, I'm having the same stuff. It's just lately, since I got into this, I'll hear actual words being spoken without any electronics. I'll hear them, a voice that I've thought I've heard before on EVP, you know, when I'm doing analyzing audio, and I'll actually hear it. And you just stop and go, well, that's different. And you have it, and it happens here in spurts with me. So the last 6 months, I've noticed a definite increase. And other hosts, I think the CJEVP folks were saying that same thing, that gal Christine was saying the same thing. So, obviously, this is common.
Well, on the property that you're on, I would wonder if you're not coming up on an anniversary of something.
Well, you know the deal with that woman who we think is interred here from
right.
the Gold Rush days, you know.
Yep.
I have a feeling that if to digress briefly, about 15, 16 years ago, what got me into almost all of this was an actual apparition appeared in my home here on the property. And I had a 15 to 20 second full-on view of this woman standing there smiling at me, and she just then slowly dissipated away. And I have a feeling that this is the same woman. And we've had this... my mother, who's quite gifted, you know, with the sight, went out with me, and I had the EVP recorder. And when we came back and played it right afterwards, we did analysis on the spot. And this woman's voice comes on, and we said that we were aware she was out there. And she says, "You're standing right over me," and it was very clear. And so that was an eye opener for us. And so I have heard a woman's voice here about, you know, a third of the time on these things that we can actually hear with our ears. So she's obviously out there, you know. The question is what to do now, which I think we touched on the earlier show. So.
Well, if you have to get an archaeologist out there or the sheriff or somebody, she
deserves
a proper burial. That's it.
Yeah, and the trouble is out here, we've got graves because they kind of planted them where they dropped. It was kind of a normal thing in those days for that to happen.
Right.
And so it's going to be, I'm going to have to check into this, what do you do if, you know, but we had when this land was being cleared, the bulldozer operator, who is a friend of ours, came over, and he would not clear certain areas. He's going, oh, no, that's a grave. And he pointed out, you know, roughly four graves just on the top hill, not more than, you know, 50 feet from the main ranch house. So it's not surprising we have shadows running around the house.
No.
Well, hey, we're coming up on, we're already, God, it's the time is flying by. We're coming in at 8:25, so on the half hour, we're going to take a short break so everybody can get up to stretch and all that. But so you like the idea of taking those little cell phone style headsets? You want to pick one up or pick up a couple?
Yeah, I'll pick up one or two of them and bring them down with me to when we go out here.
Yeah, and you know the advantage too of those is you could actually not look like a goofball when you're running around. Yeah, you'll look like you're just on your cell phone talking.
Could look like real official and stuff.
I know, and people would not even think twice. You're sitting there. Oh, yeah, I'm walking around talking to spirits.
It's got to have a blue light on it, though, you know.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, I mean, I think it's got possibilities.
I'm not that big of a gadget geek. Come on, now.
I don't know. Well,
even though I am.
I am, too. God, I was just down at Best Buy today getting new toys for the studio here, and, you know, I got the new cell phone. I finally gave in and got, like, a pocket cell phone because my Trio is just so damn big, and oh, my God.
That's right.
Yeah, and it chews through batteries like no tomorrow, so I gave up on it and got a little cheapo LG phone, which probably the battery will last, you know, 200 years. But okay, well, what I think we're going to do is we're coming up on the half-hour break, and I'm going to go ahead, and if Christine is out there, I don't see her calling in yet. And if she doesn't call in, we'll just continue this chat. So what we'll do is go ahead on the – let me see if I can find the half-hour break music. We're going to go ahead and break right now, and we should be back in about 5 minutes. Here we go. Okay, short break, and we're just at half past the hour, and I believe we have a caller in. Is Christine there?
We do.
Hello.
I'm here.
All right. You know, Christine, Kat, Christine.
Hi, Kat. I've heard a lot about you.
Yes, and it scares me to think of what you've heard about me, but that's
no,
okay.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Well, good. Well, I feel great, you know, having both of you on together. And, you know, Christine has been just a great friend who's gone out on some really neat hunts with me all around El Dorado County. And she was doing this long before I showed up on the scene. And you run El Dorado Paranormal. And
El Dorado Paranormal Investigations, yeah.
Paranormal Investigations. And, you know, one thing I've never really touched on with you is how you kind of got started on it and, you know, some of what got you into this and then some of the, you know, some of the cases that you've investigated that are really memorable. So that's why you're here. We can talk about this. Yeah.
I've had a very long history of the paranormal in my life. My first experiences with the paranormal were with my grandmother, who, when I was very young, told me how she would see people in her family who have passed away on a regular basis. And one story in particular, we came over her house on a Sunday, and she was telling us how in the middle of the night she got up to go to the bathroom, and she got in the hallway, and she heard something coming up her back stairs. And she, from where she was, she could see all the bedrooms because she was kind of centralized.
Yeah.
And she could also see to her back door and where the basement stairs came up. And this was in Ohio where people had basements. She could see that all her sons, and she knew her husband was in the bedroom with her. And so she was kind of nervous because someone was coming up her back stairs and it was the middle of the night. And it wasn't one of her family members. So she waited there, kind of, you know, scared, and she heard the cuckoo clock go off behind her. It was like 3 o'clock. And she looked at the landing, and there were two people standing on the landing by her back door. One was her brother-in-law, my grandfather's brother, Nick, and his wife, Betty, who had passed away 20 years earlier. And she's looking at them, and they're smiling at her. They're arm in arm. And after smiling at her for about a minute or two, they both turned around and went right through her back door. So she decided she didn't have to go to the bathroom anymore and went back to bed.
Yeah.
And the next morning at 7 o'clock, they got the phone call that my Uncle Nick died at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my
God. So, yeah.
Oh, she caught a crossing over. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And so my history is, and then my father used to do table tapping all the time. I mean, I remember times when he would have his friends over, and they'd rise the table on three legs and walk it across the room with all of their hands on top of the table. And as a matter of fact, I wrote an article about it in my newsletter. I send out a monthly newsletter called Paranormal Musings, and one of the articles in the February newsletter is about my father's table tapping expertise. So I grew up in a home that was open to the paranormal and didn't stifle me, thank God, because my interest grew the older I got. And then when I was married to my first husband, and had my older children, we moved into a haunted house, and I lived there for 12 years and saw spirits in that house every day.
My goodness. I mean, so you had that same kind of a open, that's what happened to me, I mean, growing up. We had a very open, kind of a accepting view of the paranormal right next to the scientific, and it just lends itself to that. You know.
It makes a big difference in a child's life when the people around you are open to things that are not closed-minded. And even though, you know, we had a religious upbringing, I did go to Catholic school, and even though we had the religious upbringing, it didn't stifle the fact that there are more things, you know, in this world that are unexplained. And for me, that was an invitation, open invitation to explain them.
Well,
or try to, anyway.
What happened early on with you personally, now that you had your parents, you know, with all these things that were going on with both of them, what things started happening with you and at what age?
Oh, well, I was very young and living in a house in Parma, which is in a suburb of Cleveland. And the first thing I remember paranormally that happened to me personally was that I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw a spirit in my room, and it came at me, flew at me, and then pulled my hair. And I put my head under the covers.
No, that's not nice.
That would be a little trippy.
But I mean, I was like 7 or 8 years old. So, you know, that was my first experience with it. And then when I was married to my first husband, you know, I moved into a haunted house 2 years after we got married. So my daughter was about 1.5 years, and I got married when I was 18. So I was about 20 years old, and things start happening in that house. And then I start seeing the spirits, and I see them every day. I saw them out of the corner of my eye every day. And things would disappear. The driveway was a 450-foot driveway that was all gravel, that we would hear people come in at all hours of the night and go to the window, and there'd be nobody there. Lots of different things happened in that house. But mostly the house was also protected by the spirits that were there, because we were 450 feet back from the road. We had trees all around our house. We were the only house on the street. On the street, it was a big street. It was a main thoroughfare that did not get broken into. And we were prime targets. So actually the spirits, and I don't know how they did it, but they, as far as I'm concerned, protected us from, you know, getting broken into.
That's me.
We were never touched.
That goes well. I mean, I'm going to think about talking to them about doing that for us. That's kind of like a service.
It just might work.
Yeah.
You never know.
Scare the hell out of the home invaders, you know. I mean, hey.
Yeah. Well, I had a lot of different experiences in that house. And the thing that that I learned when I started doing my heavy-duty research when I lived in that house. I just read everything I could on the paranormal, and I must have read over 200 books in the 12 years that I lived in that house. And the experience itself was just started me investigating. And one of the things that, one of the many books that I read were by Hans Holzer, and he was a real pioneer in ghost hunting investigations. And he was my inspiration to start investigating, like going to the house. And I mean, this was the 70s, you know, the early 70s. So it wasn't a popular thing like it is now. I mean, you know, people still looked at you strangely when you talked about paranormal. And they still look at me strangely, but I don't care anymore.
I'm in
not
the same
so much.
Boat. I mean, you know, I work in the spacecraft and missile business, and it's an open secret now that, you know, hey, Almada is, you know, out there doing these investigations, and you know, and they kind of look at me funny, but I just act like it's an everyday thing. And now I've got folks from work coming in with, you know, that want to join our group and want to go out in the field, and they think it's really cool. But it's a lot more accepting. You know, you're very correct.
It is a lot more. And I've noticed that people are more interested in it now than they ever have been. And they actually come to me. Like, we had a gentleman in our office who passed away, and I felt him on several occasions in the office. And people will come up to me and say, you know, do you still feel Steve? You know, is he trying to tell us anything? And so, I mean, you know, I'm a sensitive. I'm not a psychic. I mean, I'm not a medium, but I am a sensitive. So, people may make fun of you, but they still come to you and ask you.
I know
you've had that.
Yeah, it's like they'll sit there and make fun of you, and then they'll come to you afterwards. You know, I got this problem, and you know,
that's right. That's exactly.
Really? You know, you, a case? Well, there. Yeah, not a problem. Well,
I talk to people about it in the grocery store. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Matter of fact, that would be cool. Let's see if we can find some grocery stores like that.
right.
Well, I know in Sunnyvale they have a haunted Toys R Us, so we could always go there.
Yeah, but the kids love that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you and I, on January 4th, we had that super-duper score we made when we got to the Bailey House.
We
hit the place everyone in the county wants to hit, and which is this Bailey House is about 150-year-old what was originally meant to be a hotel midway between Placerville and the town of Auburn, and it was for the gold rush, materials transport, that kind of thing, and they were going to have dignitaries going back and forth, and this man named A.J. Bailey built the hotel. Only to find out that they routed the railroad that he had planned planned on being there. It never came through, so it sort of was a failure. But it was one of the largest houses in the Western United States at the time, and really elegant, really well built. Well, you know, it's sitting right on the side of the road. You drive right by it all the time when you're going up through Pilot Hill, and we went up there. And you know, why don't you tell them a little bit about what happened then?
Well, you know what? You and I have had some great success in this area with communicating with spirits, and amazingly so. I'm amazed at the results that we've gotten.
Yeah,
but
it's like a dynamic duo.
We seem to be in the right place at the right time.
I know. It's like we're being smiled on by, you know, the forces on high. And we're getting all these spirits that show up, and I get all these crazy EVPs because, you know, you're there, and it's kind of feeding on each other, you know.
Yeah, and I really believe that makes a difference, that when you have two people that are sensitive like you and I both are, I think it makes a big difference because they can sense that we can sense them. And they come to us, and the Bailey House thing was just being at the right place at the right time, and it was an afterthought, you know, because you had to go home and clean the gutters, but I kind of hijacked you.
Thank God you talked me out of that. That was the best damn excuse I ever had.
I know your mother will never forgive me, but...
Yeah, well, I promised to get, go up to the main ranch house and take care of it, and then it's that for another week, but by gosh, I got up there. I did the manly thing.
Oh, good boy.
Yeah,
but anyway, we were there, and we saw this truck there, and we both looked at each other and going, bingo, in our minds. And sure enough, the gentleman there, John Chase, wasn't it John Chase? Yeah.
Yeah.
His name is John Chase. Yeah, and he was wonderful, wasn't he?
He was full of knowledge.
Started talking to us, and we just asked him, can we come in? And he said, sure, come on in. We couldn't believe it. Because he even mentioned that we told him that we were paranormal investigators, and he even mentioned we shot you down, didn't we? And I said, oh, yeah. Both of us, you and I, on separate occasions, wrote letters, you know, separately to go in there and never got a response from
the
people
in the house.
Yeah,
and then we just show up, and the place opens up to us, and all we had to do was ask. And I had the entire thing on audio because I had you had the camera. And I had just, as an afterthought, grabbed my MP3 recorder and was just got the whole thing. As a matter of fact, we got a ton. I mean, a ton of EVPs.
Oh yeah, we did. That was the most thrilling thing that we've had done in a long time.
I've got a few here loaded up. If you wanted to, me to play a few.
Okay.
Yeah, when we walked in the door at the first, when he first opened that door, where the French doors were, and he's got that plywood over, I almost get the feeling like AJ himself welcomed us, because what I got was this particular EVP. So I'm going to play this a few times so that everybody can hear it. And by the way, I just wanted to say hi to all the folks that are in the chat room. I'm doing all this other stuff, and Kat is doing a great job there. So we see Derek, and we have Psychic Living with us from someone from Utah. I believe that's Derek. Hello, Derek. So if you guys ever have any questions, we're definitely going to, Kat will see that I know about it, and we'll try to have them answered, you know. But anyway, let's go ahead and play this, and it's the this is Welcome to the Bailey House. Did you hear that first part, welcome?
Yeah.
Here goes. So, and the man's voice was John, the guy that was hosting us in. So that came out pretty good. Another thing that was happening a lot there, and we did get some incredibly clear stuff, was we had a lot of repeats. And in EVPs, you get, times where you'll say something and then it just shows up again. This time, it's something that's never happened to me before. The repeat happened before I actually said anything. And so we were saying wow a bunch in there. Remember all the wows we were doing?
Oh, yeah. We were just so thrilled to be in there.
Yeah.
We were hugging that man.
Oh, yeah. It was great. But I said wow, and there's two EVP wows that happen in this clip that I'm going to play here. So here goes. And I'll play it at 100% and then probably back it down a little if it's too loud.
Wow. Wow.
Now, the first one was not me. That,
no, wow.
Yeah, the first one was not me. It was. It has kind of a rough quality to it, and it is definitely not me. So I'll back it down a little bit, take it down to 70%. And just play it.
Wow. Wow.
And, now, what you don't hear in the middle, especially on this show, is in the middle there's a very low, another wow in there. So there's actually three of them. So
wow.
We were getting, and we had a few spirits in there who were saying things, to get out, which is, I guess, the customary, I hate everybody thing. But
yeah.
But there were a lot more friendly ones there than anything, and they seemed very interested and very gratified that we were there to really see the place.
Yeah, and the most haunted area of that whole house was the attic. I got 7 or 8 orbs in that attic. Every shot I took in that attic had an orb in it, and they were not dust. They were spirit orbs. You could tell because they had they didn't have a distinct outline. They had the hazy outline that was kind of like the rainbowish, and a couple of them were very, very vividly.
And we loaded those on our website. I put those up this morning or last night, and I did catch an audio there in the attic with you, a spirit that actually seems to be aware of recording techniques, because basically you'll hear it. It says it's on audio, and it's not us, and it was not John either. So I'm going to go ahead and play this at 100%. So here goes.
Oh. Yeah, that was very distinct.
Yeah, and that was not us. I'll repeat that one more time. And this control board is just a little slow. Okay, here we go. And you hear the first part. It's on, and then it's that standard EVP thing, that kind of clicking where their voice kind of goes into this weird place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so when you hear it and you play it louder on like a standard MP3, you'll definitely pick up the audio. We have a ton of those that are on the Ghostwriter site, which the links for that is on our show page here. And it was just an amazing adventure. I mean, we walked away.
Yeah,
when you and I went out, we high-fived, and I'm going, score! We did it!
Well, that was just amazing. You can't, anybody who knows anything about this area knows that everybody who's in the paranormal investigations has tried to get into that house. And because it is not, it's not really safe. You know, there's a lot of floorboards that are gone. And you can understand why they don't want a bunch of people in that house, because it's really not safe.
Yeah,
but,
and there was pigeon poo everywhere, too. It was just a delightful experience.
Oh, yeah, we were walking all over pigeon crap.
It was like I was joking with Christina. I was going, I really don't want you to turn the heater on in the car when we're going back home.
Really? Yeah, you got back in my PT Cruiser with pigeon poop on your feet.
Oh, that was, yeah, but it was well worth it. I mean,
it was great.
But,
it
you know,
was
we got,
great.
Yeah, we got actually some great photographs, too, which nobody else has. So, you know, I'll definitely put a little more of an article up on the main website. And
I did send you that photograph of you with a shadow figure behind you. Which,
oh, you did? Okay, well, we'll put that on for, yeah.
Is.
And you really think it's a shadow person?
I can't be 100%, you know, you can never be 100% sure, but it sure does look like it to me because there's so little light in that place. John was great about opening, we didn't realize this, but the wood that's on those windows can be opened from the inside, and he did a really good job of opening a lot of the windows for us. But there still wasn't a lot of light in the place. And so there wouldn't have been enough light, I don't think, to cause that shadow. So that's the only thing that I thought of when I saw it. It's like, wait a minute, how could we have that stink of a shadow when there's almost no light?
Yeah, well.
I don't know. You'll have to check it out and let me know what you
think. Yeah, I'll pull it up and run it through some of my stuff and just, you know, validate it because I wouldn't be surprised if it was a real deal. I mean, we caught a ton of stuff in that place.
Yeah, we really did. That was a great experience.
Yeah, and the thing that I really came out of that, number one, I'm just going to say flat out, you know, my view of it is it is haunted. And I think our second reveal for GRI will be, you know, to go out actually and call a meeting with John and dig some of the evidence out and do a full video reveal and then have put that on the site because we are going that way. Our first reveal is going to be in February from the St. George investigation. And there's just a bunch of stuff that happened there. And that hotel was extremely haunted. So,
Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, yeah, you've been there. Yeah, you told me some of the stories you had. And it's a prime spot.
Yeah, it is. That whole area is the Union Hotel, too, down the street from it is very haunted.
Yeah, and what about your cases? What are some of the things that before you and I started, you know, hooking up, some of the things that you've run into and stories you
have? Well, the one thing that I have been doing a lot of work with a youth group in that I'm volunteering with, and what I'm trying to do is teach the youth that the paranormal is normal and it's nothing to be afraid of and to teach them investigation techniques. And we have done a lot of investigation of the buildings in Placerville, and if you're a paranormal investigator, this is the best place in the country to live, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
Because of the gold rush, you know, there are a lot of energy surrounding the gold rush, and naturally, in Placerville, used to be called Old Hangtown for good reason because it had two hanging trees, and so there are there's a lot of energy in there. We had a great deal of energy in the most energy was in the Chamber of Commerce building. I mean, it's outside. My meter was going off outside on the steps, and it was just, I couldn't shut the thing up. I mean, it was crazy, and that was for EMFs.
Yeah.
And so we walked in there, and every one of, even the people that were there, the youth group is involved with youth and their parents. So the parents were all there as well. And we all walked into one of the offices there, and it was like hit us that there was something in that office. And everybody felt it. Everybody walked in that room and went, whoa. And, you know, it was like hitting a wall. And I took them to where I thought the spirit was, and they took a photograph, and we all got orbs in the photograph of where the spirit
really?
Was. Yeah. And then we went upstairs. I got to tell you this about this conference room. We had one of the parents take videos when we do this, and she was videotaping. We were in the conference room, and before we went up there, one of the girls that worked there told us that, you know, they had a lot of activity in the conference room, so we decided we were going to go there next. So we went up there, and the conference room is kind of, the stairway is where the tree used to be.
Yeah.
the second hanging tree. And so there's a lot of activity right in that stairwell, too. I mean, you could just feel the atmosphere. It's almost like you have to cut it to go through it.
Yeah.
And we went up the stairs. We went in the conference room, and we were – and I know you've been in that conference room, too, John, with
the
guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we got all kinds of EMF readings in there, and we were getting it above the fireplace. And what we did is we actually – there's a big Thomas Kincaid photograph – not photograph, but painting – above the mantle, and we actually took the painting down to see if there was any electrical outlets, and naturally there weren't, because back then they didn't put those behind, you know, above fireplaces. But we were getting heavy EVPs in that room above the fireplace. So we left the room, and Carol, the one that was doing the videotape, was still in the room, and when we all got in the hallway, the door slammed shut and locked.
Oh, my God.
And Carol's still in there, and it locked from the inside, and she's on the other side of the room from the door. She was in the front of it, and the door's in the back of the room. So we're trying to open the door, and actually we couldn't because the darn thing locked. So we're knocking on the thing and saying, Carol, Carol, are you all right? And she says, yeah, I'm fine. She goes, and then she had to flip the latch to open it. So she flips the latch. Oh, we open the door, and I say, okay, let's see if this thing can lock by itself. So we locked it again and tried to close it, and the door would not close. It, the only way you could lock the door is from the inside.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's
that
amazing.
Was very interesting. So that place was really haunted, and also we went to, naturally, the Carey House. That's been on TV, national TV, a number of times, and America Most Haunted, and I got a lot of orbs in there and some high readings. And in room 212, which is supposed to be the most haunted room, on the outside of the hallway it was 78 degrees. Outside it was like 62 degrees. You walk in that room and it's 56 degrees.
Oh, yeah. I've been in some of those. I know.
So you could almost see your breath in there. It was so weird because, you know, there was a window that was open. The sun was coming through the window. There were supposed to be people in that room, you know, right before we got in it, because we had to actually wait until 1 o'clock to make sure that they were gone. And we had one of the cleaning ladies open the door for us because it was locked. We went in there, and it was like a refrigerator in there. It was amazing. But and we got a lot of EMF readings in there, and so that was that. We got, I think everybody knows the story about Stanley, the door, the desk clerk. Yeah.
But yeah. By the way, real quick, I'll just interject. We've got 3 minutes remaining in the formal show, but those of you who are signed in and listening, you'll be able to hear us just carry on. I feel like running along with this because
sure.
We've got some great stuff going here. So just stay online, you know. And even though the show will be technically off, I'm kicking the keyboard. Continue on where you were. So
okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, we also went to the hardware store, and that hardware store is very haunted. The woman who owns it is named Diana, and we went in, and I've told you this before, the best, I have found the best thing that you can do is just to show up. And so
yeah,
here we are, we'd like to do an investigation.
Yeah, and I got real proof of that. I mean, we just went around
yeah.
Georgetown, you and I, and it was
yeah,
like,
we did, yeah.
The keys to the city unlocked before us. I'm going, I don't have to ask permission, I just show up with my stuff. Great.
I know, and you just show up, give them a card and say, we want to investigate, and 9 times out of 10 they'll say, sure, no problem. But if you send them a letter, they have all these excuses why you can't come in.
Yeah.
So you're better off just showing up. So anyway, that's what we did, and Diana was behind the counter. She stopped what she was doing for an hour and a half. She took our youth group to every inch of that place, in the attic, you know, in the lower section where, you know, nobody else ever gets to go.
Yeah.
She showed us where there was a portal that she thought. She told us about how – now, this is an interesting side note. She was telling us how that the ghosts, the spirits in that building – were playful, and what they would do is they would untie shoes. And so the people who worked there, it happened so often that they stopped wearing shoes that had laces on them. So nobody working in that place wears tennis shoes that have laces on them because the stupid ghost keeps untying them. Yeah, so anyway, you know, and naturally, as soon as anybody says something like that, you all look down at your shoes. Well, There were several of the kids that were wearing tennis shoes, and they were all fine. So we get outside, and one of the girls looks down, and their shoes are untied.
Oh, my God.
And the folks in the chat room, by the way, that you're all wondering where this is all at, we're based out of California, because I see some of the stuff going by. We're Placerville is the location where, you know, an awful lot of Gold Rush history was just there. And Georgetown is a town about eight miles to the west, northwest. There's another hamlet, basically. And so there's all these little Gold Rush towns that are just sprinkled throughout, you know, the mountains out here, where everybody would congregate and you know stake their claim and do their thing, and all the gold seemed to make its way to Placerville. So the whole place is just, you know, flat out haunted.
Because of the Gold Rush, it is the best place to live if you're a paranormal investigator.
Oh yeah, I mean, what was funny was, you know, I stepped out my door just for ducks one day, and I played it on the last show. Was here I am in Shingle Springs, which is 9 miles south of Placerville, heading towards Sacramento.
Yeah.
And just for ducks, I thought, you know what, maybe I'm not going to be able to get much, but let's see. And I walked away for 10 minutes work with 9 EVPs, and, you know, and it was really good stuff. So they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. This whole area is just loaded with them. And Old Sacramento, you know, that's another place that we probably ought to just show up.
Yeah. And, you know, matter of fact, I mean, GRI is, you know, we were this morning, you were there at our regular monthly meeting. We'll be doing quite a few more investigations around the area, but we're also going to hit other places like Nevada and, you know, parts of Northern California and even out towards the Pacific Ocean. So, you know, we're not totally locked into just one place to do our investigation work, but, boy, you know, we're just, you know, just getting, you know, our jet started with this whole venture. And, of course, I mean, you know, we do it just for the love of it. There's no money involved in this. You know, we get out there. We want to try new things. So were you listening to us earlier about some of the new techniques? What did you think of all that?
I think that's a splendid idea. You know, that putting one of those hearing aids in your ear, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we could hit, you know,
couldn't
test that out.
Couldn't hurt anyway, huh?
Yeah, well, if nothing else, you can look like that dumb commercial where that gal sitting there walking around with the birds all tweeting, you know, nature walk.
Going for a nature walk.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to the birds. Tweet, tweet, Christine, what are you doing? I'm listening to the birds. Tweet, tweet, tweet. We're just listening to the birds.
That's right, that's right. Well, like I said, I'm used to people calling me weird, so I don't care anymore. I'm way past the age of caring.
That's what happened to me, man. After 45, I thought I had license to just do whatever the hell I wanted. And, you know,
that's
if you didn't like it, tough crunchies, you know? So that's it. You know, and good cat does her thing. She was telling us about some of her cases last week with that one place on the haunted graveyard. You know, the guy built a multi-million dollar, I guess.
That's just down. That's just about 2 miles away from where I live now. Yeah, it's
wow,
interesting.
But what other places have you hit? You've probably hit some interesting cases just other than that. I mean, there have to have been some. I mean, you told me about that one place that rich lady that they got divorced or something, and the place is starting to fall to the ground. And
well, that's the Bush House. That's up at Index. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a interesting place. I think one of the most interesting places to me about the Bush House. Now, I've been going up there for almost 20 years. Is there's a rose in the back of the building in this rose garden, and there's one bright pink rose that never dies.
Never stops blooming, you mean?
No, it just never dies. It always looks exactly the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's the petals are soft, and it smells wonderful, and it never dies. It's because there's a gal that is in the hotel. Her name is Anna or Annabelle, and she is a ghost in this old hotel, and her window overlooks this rose.
Oh.
So this and this
wow.
is we have a lot of mining. We had a lot of mining up here in Washington State as well. So we have a lot of Indians and a lot of gold, or not necessarily gold, but there's copper mines up here.
Oh,
and
copper. Yeah, there's copper seems to be a real.
Down by the waterfront, there's a little
yeah.
bit of white slavery.
Yeah, the copper is a very good conductor of paranormal activity.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I mean, I was listening to another one of the Blog Talk shows, and they were talking about making your own, the best thing to make your dowsing rods out of was copper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have copper dowsing rods.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, giving that a try, too. I mean, here we were on the low-cost budget Ghost Hunter show, you know. And
might try that tomorrow, John. I have dowsing rods with me. We can try using them.
Oh, yeah, and that's what she's referring to is we're doing a training session at a little teeny cemetery that somehow survived the onslaught of Sacramento in a town called Rancho Cordova, and that's about 10 miles from, you know, where, as a crow flies from where I'm at right now in Shingle Springs. And there's a little pioneer cemetery there called Kilgore Cemetery, and the city spent $1 million renovating it. I was surprised that it took that much interest in it. And here it is, right in the middle of a business park. And so we're going to do an EVP training session there tomorrow. And I think that's a great idea. You know, let's try it out and see what we get. My mother does water witching with dowsing rods, and was pretty good at it. So who knows? Maybe I've got the gift.
That's right.
But yeah, and what I was hearing was they literally almost dance in your hands when they start reacting.
They do, and I have used them in investigations and home investigations, and they will answer questions by crossing. And that's happened to me.
And yeah, they actually almost like pull you, don't they? I mean, they get
they actually cross. You can ask them a yes or no question. And you'll say cross for yes, and they'll cross when you ask them a question, and they respond with a yes. And
well,
if it's no, then they don't move.
Well, we'll walk out there with our cell phone devices in our ears, our copper rods, and all the other low cost stuff, and see what we come up with. And then I'll have my lightning globe so I could try to power the ghosts.
So I'd like to see that too. I want to see that.
Well,
I think those things are cool.
Yeah, it just struck me. I mean, it's like if they're so hungry for DC current, let's give it to them. I mean, come on. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously they're needing that kind of energy, and they want to come through for us. So I'm going to give it a shot. But, you know, it's got to be set up right, and definitely camera, you know, set up a tripod camera and go for it. Probably it would be, you know, good to do it on a nighttime investigation.
Well, you can still see that during the day though, but it would be show up better on the you know, on video or whatever.
Well, that one shot that you and I took, that one you found of that you showed me this morning, that there up at the top by the Marshall Monument in Coloma.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
That was just insane. I mean, it was real similar to that orb shot that I had from my grandmother's scattering.
That's right.
It had that double kind of flare coma to it, and it was not the sun. There's just no way.
No, I don't think it. I don't think it was.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the at your web chat, and it looks like that they can't hear us anymore.
No, in fact, that's why I typed into the show into the chat room. If the way that Blog Talk Radio works is about 10 minutes before the end of the show, if you want to continue talking to whoever's hosting the show, you have to call in, otherwise you won't be able to hear us anymore. So it is actually just the three of us that can hear each other now. Nobody else can hear us.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, that's a lesson learned for the next show. But
and then on this number, on the call-in number, we can talk for an extra 2 hours before it shuts this phone number off.
Well, what we'll do then is I'll remember that for the future. And by the way, this is still being recorded, so they'll be able to play this back and hear this part of the show. Yeah,
sure.
I believe.
Okay.
So we're good. Well, then, you know what? I think it's been a great show. Just awesome. I mean, we'd love to have you back, you know, and talk some more about some of the cases and things you've been on, Christine.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Okay. And you're also, just so we can, you know, get folks routed to your website, go ahead and give your website address.
My website address is httpedparanormal.com. And if my, I'm going to give you my email address too, because if you, I do send out a monthly paranormal newsletter, mm-hmm. and that's free. All you have to do is send me a request with your email address, and I'll add you to the list. And
okay.
that's edparanormal@comcast.net.
Okay. We've got it, and then we'll feature that on the show page. Make sure that gets out there for everybody to see.
Okay.
And then...
Pat,
we'll
it was
back.
Great talking to you.
Yeah, it was great having you on board, and you know, we'll definitely schedule some more time, and then I'm going to be on your show in February.
You are,
KFOK,
yeah, you're going to be on my radio show. That's
yeah,
right.
So I'll be there live in the studio, and you'll have some streaming stuff because I know KFOK is doing a renovation on their site.
Yeah, they're working on that.
So okay, well then we'll look forward, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and Kat, appreciate you always.
Thanks.
Being there to field the things, and, you know, we learned a lot on this one, so show number three will get even better.
Show number three.
Nice talking to you, Kat.
It's nice to talk to you, too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Okay,
bye.
See you later. All right, we're going to go ahead and call it quits, and I'll call you later, Kat, and talk some more.
That's okay.
Okay. And we thank everyone for you know, attending our show. It was just really gratifying to see all the folks that showed up in the chat.
Yay!
And thank you for taking on that part of it, because I was just kind of seeing stuff go by and going, Utah, there's people, oh my God, everybody.
Well, I'm the multitasker of the family, you know.
Well, okay. well, I'm going to end it here, and oops, and here goes the computer. So thank you very much, and we'll be back in 1 week. And I'm not sure what our next show is going to be about. Oh, it's the inaugural show with the fully functional studio.
It's the inaugural show with all the fireworks and the champagne and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the professional mic, which is going to be hooked in so that we have a really studio quality setup here. So. We'll be doing that and going over, we'll have a kind of a surprise guest and surprise topic, although I can hint it has something to do with the Queen Mary. So we'll leave it at that. Okay?
Ooh.
Yes. So we may even have a well-known figure from the world of AM radio on. So, you know, we're crossing our fingers, but I'm not going to promise it. Okay?
Excuse me. That's fine.
Okay, well, we're off the air, and see you in 1 week. Thank you, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, goodbye.
All right.